Welcome to the Fabulous by Design podcast. I'm your host, Ivana Ivanik. This show inspires and empowers you to take the next step towards a life you can't stop thinking about. I am bringing in people from all over the world with authentic and inspiring stories. People who change their lives from good to better, from miserable to great, turn tragedy into hope, and start living their dream life on own terms. Grab your favorite note-taking device, lean back, and get inspired. I believe that everything you need to create a life of your dreams is already within you. Welcome to another great episode of the Fabulous by Design podcast. Today I'm here with Jen Schulak. Jen is an artist, photographer, and speaker. She welcomes the weird and creates opportunity for belonging. Her passion is to connecting with others through creativity and self-expression. I have prepared 1,000 questions for you, Jen.
Oh, my. But
before we continue, dear listener, a question for you first. Are you pursuing your passion? And are you following your own vision? The reason why I'm asking you here is because sometimes we are conditioned to pursue other people's passions. And I can tell you, once you figure out your path, your vision, and you know where your North Star is, everything will come to you with ease. You will see the path right in front of you. Clarity is the key to our success, whether this is in life or in business. You will find a link below if you want to check out whether your vision is truly yours. But now to you, Jen, please let us know, who are you? Introduce yourself shortly to our audience.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jen. I'm with Weirdo Weddings Photography, and I do conceptual work as well as weird weddings and thematic weddings and fun wedding days where people are highly emotionally charged and ready to, you know, embrace their future. And I'm also doing inspirational speaking, including my own podcast as well. Just having some fun with talking about business, life, and fun tattoo stories.
Thank you. Let me right dive into the weird. You said you are welcoming the weird. What means being weird to you, and how are you welcoming this in your life?
And, you know, I get asked this a lot since starting this new company, and I have learned that as I start to talk about it more, I find a better definition the more I talk about it. And what I have defined it as is that when you know that you feel a little different or you see things a little different, sometimes your home looks different than somebody else, I think it's really just embracing everything that you feel is weird about you that is definitely perceived culturally as weird, right? Like, we make crazy art, we have fun fashion sense, we think differently, we don't always follow the norm, very creative people that really just want to be who they are. I find that to be fascinatingly weird. When people have that confidence to be who they are and let their everything shine, it's just kind of funny that a lot of people define themselves as weird and they would never show it externally. And I have found that I tend to show my weirdness internally and externally. So I feel like, you know, my bright pink hair is a version of weird to me. It's not a normal, you know, thing that you see walking down the street. Although in the last 16 years, it has definitely become more normal. But it's like at the time, 15, 16 years ago, it wasn't as seen and it wasn't as, you know, embraced as it is now. But I feel like our cultures are shifting into embracing differences. So I feel like weird is just another form of difference. And it also can be, I'm sure you understand, it could be seen as a bad thing or a good thing. Because if, you know, we call a lot of people things, we call people names without even thinking about it. Like, oh, well, she's just too weird. Well, you know what? They may have a personality trait that is too weird for you. You never know. And that's a word that we tend to use a lot. And I like it because it's fun to say and it's fun to spell. And it lets you know that it's more than, you're more than just creative. You're just like, you have this grander vision of confidence and weirdness that you've either hidden from the world or you're showing the world.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I totally hear you. And I think it's really a matter of perspective.
It really is.
Because even in my world, as much as I still work on myself and help others to express truly who we are through yeah, our being and find fulfillment in life instead of
Yeah.
hiding and doing what we think we have to do rather than what we want to do, right? Still, being a weirdo or being weird is even in my world, like now I'm only trying to shift the understanding of being weird. It's very negative.
Yes.
Right?
It is seen
So
as pretty negative. And I think starting this business was, I got to say, it was a huge risk to leap out with that kind of name, because there's being weird and then there's also a weirdo. And most of the time, that is a very negative connotation for most of us. And I love the fact that I feel like I'm taking that word and I'm making it more of a positive light. For those of us who are very just, we're out there trying to embrace the world. We're sending out love to the world. We're trying to be kind to each other, and we're working on things about community and connection, right? Well, there's tons of weirdos that already have their own communities. It's awesome. Like, there's so many amazing people out there that already have an amazing community. They just happen to be what they would call weirdos.
I get that. Absolutely. And I think
Yeah.
what we perceive as weird is very, very personal, can be very, very different. Like,
Yeah.
I do not have pink hair, for example,
Yeah.
but I always turn my back to the comfort of living in a big city, although I had a very sustainable, secure life, including job, healthcare, family,
Yeah.
friends, a support system, everything somebody would want to. Yet I was always longing to live by the sea. What that means is being usually on an abandoned island.
Yeah.
The only people you meet are tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And the cities are small, most of the time not as developed. So I left lots of comfort behind in order to live my life the way I appreciate it. So some people might just perceive that as very weird. Like, how, I don't know, how different is she? Or why would you even do that? What I learned is it's easy to connect with the community of weirdos, right? Because you
Yes,
create
it
the
is.
belonging. You talk to people like, you've been there, you've done that, cool, me too. Okay, let's have a drink. And there is mutual understanding. However, what I also see is that even if we experience that there is something different within us, that we think different, act different, that we have a gift that is different compared to others, that we still do not show it to the world, right?
Yes.
It maybe stays in that community, but it's just not enough to express yourself, which can lead obviously to, yeah, sadness, unhappiness in life, having to pretend to be someone else, right? I
Yeah.
wanted to ask you, Jen, how did you find the courage or your own voice to be who you are? And as you say, 16 years to dye your hair pink.
Yeah, at least 16. Yeah. So, well, actually, no, more like 18 now.
Okay, 18 years ago. Okay.
Feels like, well, okay. So, you know, actually, it is more like it's coming up on 17. Sorry. Yeah, coming up on 17 years. And so I found that when you have certain people in your life that you admire their courage, and in some strange ways, even if you've never been friends with them or you know, you never have a relationship with them or anything, sometimes people from afar can inspire you to have the courage to do something you may have never done before.
Like an idol, somebody you look up to.
Maybe even, and it's probably just a friend that you look up to because they're expressing themselves and it feels like a freedom that you don't have. And then all of a sudden, one day you wake up and you're like, you know what? She's doing it or he's doing it. I could do it too. And I can't say there was a light switch moment where it just flipped, but it was a nice gradual walk into who I am now. But it started with the pink hair. Let's just be honest. I think this, you know, my original hair, I've got really, for those of y'all that can't see me, I have very naturally curly hair. I feel like, you know, growing up, there was a standard put on me, say as a woman or a female, that, you know, beauty was in the eye of the beholders of long blonde hair, and especially not with glasses. There was a beauty standard that back then I couldn't meet any of them. I don't have that hair, and it was too high maintenance to try to mimic everybody, right? Once I started embracing my own natural gifts, and that, y'all, it just started with my hair. And hair just, it's one of those things that hair is hair. We don't think anything about it until it is a catalyst to where we're going in our life and self-expression. So now, like, I've gone through this hair phase of, okay, I'm embracing my curls, always have. And now I like shave the sides of my head because it's much cooler. And when my hair grows out, it goes into my ear and I can't stand that. But it's like these little tiny subtle things that I've done over the years to gain my confidence and individuality and how I express myself. You start to learn what actually works for you. And you know, we don't want to always make ourselves uncomfortable on purpose. Like, that's just not a way to live. There's a difference between being uncomfortable to fit in and then being uncomfortable to stand out. I feel like that's two different things. So for me,
I would really love to know the difference.
Yeah. And I've never said that before, but as I'm sitting here thinking to myself, oh my God, like it can be uncomfortable to keep putting on the mask every day to pretend you're somebody you're not. Mm-hmm. And some people are really good at that. But for me, I think it's exhausting to have to like pretend I'm somebody else or pretend that I fit in with other people. And some of the key things I've learned over the years, and many of us, we have friends in our lives, we have mentors, coaches, we have programs that we can get involved in that really help open us up and wake us up a little bit. And so it's a variety of those things that led me to this place. It's like you were talking about the path earlier. I love that you said that because not every path is lit brightly and not every path is carved out for you. So I feel like in this season of my life where I am now that I've gotten more confidence and I'm in who I am, I have this path before me that I'm having to chop out of the jungle. Like, you know, it's like, I can't always see what's in front of me, but I know I have a piece that I'm pursuing what I'm supposed to do, you know?
Absolutely. I hear you. What I see here very clear that you have made a little tiny change to your life, or you just accepted that the blonde long hair and the maintenance of it and being someone who you are not is just not it. So that was a
too much work. Too much work. Yep.
Too much work. Like, that's not who Jan is, right?
That's the short of it.
And I totally agree. I have that blonde long hair. I tend to cut it short or tie it up because it's warm here. It's hell of a job that I would like. I don't know. I don't want to spend my time on that. But you made this little tiny decision and you said we don't always necessarily have to put ourselves constantly into discomfort. But what you have experienced is that with this little tiny change, with one little tiny bit of courage, with one little tiny step, you create a ripple effect, right?
100%.
So the catalyst, right? You suddenly see opportunities you haven't seen before. You suddenly might be open to experiences you only dreamt about, right? And I think the parts start showing up if we dare to look at it, right? Because there is another, like, we might see it, but it still might be too scary. How, I mean, you said it was a path for you for about 16 years, right?
I would say that I've been married for 18, and about 2 years in is when I started embracing photography. Mm-hmm. As well as the pink hair started that about around that time.
Okay.
So it's like they simultaneously, the art world and the photography world opened up the same time I started doing my hair like this. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's like, you know, when you walk into, maybe you and somebody can relate to this. It's like, you're walking into something that you've always wanted to do. You just denied yourself that choice because it didn't fit a certain checklist or a mold. And once I started saying, you know what, I really want to do this, I'm going to go do this thing, I think that's really what started more of the momentum too, because it expanded, like you said, it expanded into my choices of art or pursuing of business and I had to come to a place too, to be okay with the path in business and art too, because that's a consistently changing and evolving and growing too, just like I am. We all have the opportunity to do that. And I think if we can see the opportunity ahead of us, it makes it the journey a little easier. Not going to say it's not going to be challenging, but I feel like when you understand that you're a creative person in general, everybody has some form of creativity. Even the engineers and scientists of the world are super awesome. But when you embrace that it's a journey and that not everything's going to have like a set amount of time, I'm going to do this for a year, this for a year and a half. If you just let it flow a little bit, you might find yourself in these innovative moments that literally change your life. And they let you embrace, you're like, oh, I never knew I wanted to do that, until all of a sudden you've opened up the doors for more opportunities to flood in. And you're like, oh, I want to do this next. I want to go do this next. Now, in photography, I'll demonstrate it in photography. In photography, I did everything at first because I had no idea what I liked, right? Photography has like 8 to 10 different ways you could go, either as a business or a hobby, anything. But when you find out what really sparks your joy and your heart, you start zeroing in on the thing that brings you that. It's so much easier from there when you find it and you know it inside.
Yes, absolutely. Things become easier. I like you mentioned, I can't say that it's never going to be challenging, but I think life in general is not about not being challenging. I think life is challenging. This is what it is. And I think if we accept that, and then you can easier accept that, okay, I rather pursue change and do something that really sparks me, or I just be stuck in my misery and throw myself a daily pity party. I think both are challenging. And I think it's our daily choice what we want to pursue and what direction we want to go. And I think once we have found that what it is that really sparks us, this is, it still be challenging, right? There will be, running a business is not easy.
So even when you get what you want, look out, because you're going to have those tests and trials and challenges all over again, because then what's going to come is that fear and doubt of, did I just make the right choice?
It's always something. But I think even those challenges will come easier to you because it's your path.
Yeah. Yeah. And as long as you're okay with embracing the bumps, the bruises, and everything that comes at you when you make life choices, and knowing that not every negative thing that happens to you is actually because you made a wrong choice. Sometimes you simply have things happen to you because, like you said, this is life. If we didn't have darkness, we wouldn't have light. Light versus darkness. We have joy. We have sadness. We have pain. We have a liberation. Everything on the spectrum of emotion that we get to experience. And if we didn't have one or the other, we wouldn't know what the other one felt like. You know, it's like, this is how life is. And I could, if I could just sum up my last 4 to 5 weeks, I made a decision. Somebody got sick. My face broke out in giant hives. I was preparing for a public speaking. I'm like, everything runs through your head when you got to stand up in public and do something. You know, behind a podcast, you can't see us. We're super cute though. Just going to say, we're super cute. But when you have to get up in public speaking, there's a lot of fears that come with that. If something's going wrong in your body or something's going wrong in your face and you're like, oh God, I got to go present. I got to go do this. There's so much that comes with this journey that I could not ask for a better life. I was like, now that you learn how to expect it, you're like, okay, so this happened. I'm going to look at it for what it is, and then I'm going to walk through it. And I think a big portion of my journey as we're going through this, embracing our passions and stuff, is that, you know, you just need to embrace the fact that all of it's part of the journey, and don't stop your journey just because one thing happens. The one thing may be something you can't ignore it. It's not going to go away. You have to walk through it, and you can't walk around it. Otherwise you may go in circles. But the path, like, I mean, you're on an island, right? So, and if you've got mountains or valleys and streams and rivers and ocean, the ocean's so big and scary, but even under the ocean, you can navigate the paths there. You know, there's so many different ways we can get to where we're going.
Absolutely. And I
think we should embrace that path, whatever it looks like. For me, it looks like a jungle in the darkness sometimes. But sometimes I'm on a beautiful staircase going down to the ocean, walking on the sand and letting the waves hit my feet.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of stuff that I would really love for, you know, you and your listeners to just, let's think about our path for a second. What does it look like right now? And what do we want it to look like? Where do we want to walk next? We have the opportunity to do so.
Yeah. I love that you're saying that. And I love how you mentioned that the ocean is such a scary place because it's so huge. It's unpredictable.
It's so scary.
Yes. Just last week, I had to move my appointment with you because we had some waves crashing and making some serious damage. But for me as a diver, I can tell you, you can even conquer those depths, right?
See,
because there's always a solution to how we're going to look those things that scare us, right? I get my equipment and I go down there and it's quiet and it's beautiful. Down below, the deeper we go, the more quiet it gets. And I think this is also in our personality.
Oh, you just hit me hard visually. That is so what we need in this world right now. We need to learn to be deep divers, because that is where we hear us clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been screaming at us to try to get our attention, we can hear it in the quiet like that. And not everybody wants to go deep and quiet like that. We love the noise. And sometimes we love the noise a little too much, to where it's our own detriment of, it's not helping us. It's not taking us on our, you know, our journey. It's just noise. And you never can find out where you need to go until you get a little quieter and go, oh my God, you just totally like gave me the best visual of what I could talk about forever. It's just, it's a whole other world underneath there.
It is. It is.
Yeah. It's a whole other world. And actually, I'm going to do some research on the squid. A squid idea came to me yesterday. And I was like, squid, octopus. And I was like, I need to like think about these creatures that are under there that we think about all the time. But I love using metaphors and symbolism in creatures and jellyfish. I did a whole talk on jellyfish one time. Because of their
can we
beauty.
Find them somewhere, these talks about the creatures?
Yeah, I'll send you the one on the jellyfish. It was only 5 minutes and I had to go fast, but when you get a download in your mind and heart on something that's symbolic and could change somebody's perspective, I mean, you got to do it.
Absolutely.
If it's an art, if it's a podcast, if it's a photo, if it's writing, oh my God, I'm sure there's some authors listening to this that need to go write their book. Oh my God, y'all got to go write the thing.
Absolutely cool. I will definitely get that link below in the show notes, dear listener, so you can.
Absolutely. I will give you all that link. You got to hear about the jellyfish.
Yeah, great. And something else, if you like this conversation so far and you really think someone needs to hear this and you are able to share it, please do so. Leave us a comment behind. Let us know what you think. We are here to create belonging, have conversations. This is not just a two-way show. This is going out to the world, and you are so welcome to be part of this. Jen, you said that your photography is an expression or a way of how you support people of being themselves. Would you like to take us a little bit through that? What exactly are you photographing?
Yeah. So like I was telling y'all, like 8 to 10 different ways you can go with photography. And over these last years, I decided that weddings are the real thing that really get me going. Anything that involves love like that, high emotions like that, everybody's laughing, crying, dancing, eating sweets and cake or whatever. I just feel that that was something I could lean into for a really long time and not get bored. But that being said, in my business, I don't take on too much of one thing because I don't want to get burned out. And this is something that I have worked into my life where I have a little bit of everything so I don't get burned out. And so the weddings really give me everything I could ever want in the expression. They give me architectural photography. They give me still life with cakes and details. You've got fashion. You've got, you know, all the photojournalistic love of memories and moments and emotion. You've got, you know, the grandparents that want their, you know, their perfect little portrait with everybody looking at the camera. You've got, you know, family that hasn't seen each other in a really long time and they're getting together on the wedding day. So many things about a wedding day charge me up on capturing. And it's not that I need to make a weird artistic photo, but what I do is I embrace their family. I embrace who they are and how they want to express themselves. I work with a lot of people who are very shy and anxious in front of a camera. I don't blame them. You know, it's like, I don't get into the front of the camera, not because I don't want to. It's just, I don't like self-portraits. Like, you know, I don't feel like I can express myself as freely as when a self-portrait as I can of just photographing somebody else. It's so much easier to get the emotion quickly, the pose quickly, you know, stuff like that. But I really love that photography does open up conversation. It opens up opportunity for being confident because so many people do not see themselves as beautiful at all. And then when I turn around and show them their photo, they're like, oh my gosh, I look so great. It helps them love themselves a little bit more. There's a lot of people I feel that are so insecure about themselves. And I'm not immune to that too. I have my own insecurities. But when we can get a good photo of ourselves and it's that frame of time where we were happy or even sad, people do self-portraits and deep sadness too from in the art world. But even in like celebrating moments like this, you can see beauty where you didn't see it before. And I think that's such a great shift in the mindsets and the way you see yourself too, when you get a good photograph in front of you of you.
This is so beautiful. This is,
I know, so I love art. I do.
What you just said is, last night I was just with my partner in bed, and I just couldn't sleep because I was moving my office around. So silly to do this before bed. But then I said, you know what? Let's calm down a little and watch at old photos he took from Greece with us. And we looked through these photos, and every photo had a memory. I exactly know how I felt back then. I exactly know what I was not happy with, what I was happy with, the situation, all emotions. And then in the end, we both looked at each other and I said, you know what? These photos are just so literally, if somebody else would look at it, so crap. They don't look any fancy. They don't look like there's not any super background or super photography skills behind it, but they are full of expression, as ugly as they are, because I find them all very ugly. And so yet I will forever keep them because they're just beautiful, because they capture our authentic life, like where we've been, what we've been through, and how we lived our life. And our life is actually very exciting, but it's so anchored within and so little on the superficial outside that this is what these photos express. And you also help people get that creativity or that weirdness or whatever they are out to the world. How do you do that, Jen? Talk me through.
Yeah, so especially with my wedding clients, I talk to them a lot about their day, whether or not they're going to the courthouse or if they're going to go to a church or if they're going to go to a venue. I talk to them about how they want to feel on their wedding day. There's a lot, like I was telling you, a lot of emotions on this. And so I end up being really a support counselor some days, which you didn't think as a photographer you're signing up for all this psychology, which is the psychology is the one thing I avoided in college. And, you know, which is funny because it would be so helpful right now to understand how people think and feel. Because, well, I've learned a lot now, but like when I first got into this, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, why can't we just go have fun? Well, stress is a factor. And so stress tends to like cover up everything that is in reality sometimes, because then you're like, your brain starts spinning in these ideas and visions of things going wrong, or this isn't working out, or so I end up having to reel a lot of people back into reality of, you know what you need to do today? Walk up there and say, I do. That's literally all that needs to happen. That's the one thing that needs to go right. And if you want it legal, you've got your person there to do it for you with the paperwork, right? It's like, so I find a way to remind people that it is about these little things. It's not about how grand your party is. It's about how are you being authentically you in this moment right now where you're actually enjoying yourself. And I think it translates into everybody that I meet. I'm like, are you, you know, when's the last time somebody asked you if you were happy?
Mm-hmm.
And I had my husband ask me this last fall when he got sick. And I was like, he asked me and I was like, well, actually I am happy. Like, you know, for the first time in my life, I'm like, I feel like I'm doing all the things that I've been called to do. Right. But I'm like, but not everybody is in that place. And I think maybe we need to ask ourselves, are we happy? But so I try to listen to my clients. And I think that's another thing we need to do in the world, right? We need to listen to each other, because everybody who has feelings, the feelings are valid, whether we find them irrational or not. Or fears, even fears are sometimes irrational. It's silly. Like, you know, I have certain fears of certain things that are just so, to me, weird and like, you know, whatever. But it's like, the feelings are very valid. And so just acknowledging that we all have feelings and that we all have the roller coasters of emotions, it helps me do my job a little bit better, because then we're accessing our humanity and being there for each other and supporting each other. Like, a wedding day is a big choice. So there's a lot of emotion behind that. So whatever I can do to help de-stress a day or de-stress a couple in regards to not just photography, but their entire day. If you've got somebody that shouldn't be there and we need to not invite them, let's talk about that beforehand. Or if you know you've got had divorce in your family and everybody's showing up and you didn't necessarily want everybody there, and maybe you don't want somebody in the photo and you have to do complete two different photo sessions, we have to talk about that. And I find that people are very open about it when they have the right listener.
Mm-hmm. When they see their opportunities, it's not black or white. It's not all about what we have to do. There is a true magic in the possibility of expressing what we want and then see things evolving from there. Yeah. And when we express ourselves, Jen, when we finally found the courage and it goes all in the direction that just really, you know, feels good, that we feel that's who we are, this is what we are meant to be, there will always be people who will not understand us. And I would like to round up this conversation with my last and favorite question.
Ooh.
What do people misunderstand the most about you?
Ooh, this is great, because I feel like I'm going to answer from my point of view. I don't know about everybody else, but the pink hair is not about attention. And I think there's a difference when you do something externally for attention and validation versus being secure in who you are. And I think it's probably misunderstood in a lot of places that I walk into a building and they're like, oh God, who is this person? You know, like, and don't get me wrong, we're all judged every day, all day. And you have to be okay with that too. But I find that I'm probably misunderstood for the expression of my hair. It's also an expression of my personality, but in so many different ways. I'm much more introverted than I like to say, because I'm not highly extroverted. I do love connecting, but I feel like I'm in the middle. I think they call it an ambivert if you're doing those testings. Mm-hmm. So I'm not 100% introvert, but I do love recharging alone. I'm not 100% extrovert. Like, I just came back from a 4-day conference. I'm like, I would like to talk to nobody for a week. But I think a misconception is that bright and crazy hair means attention and I need you to validate me.
All eyes on me.
Yes. And that's actually not the case with me. And that's just for me. Everybody else has their own reasons for doing the things they do. And some people are genuinely doing it out of needing validation and attention. For me, I'm just like, I just really want to be who I am. The same with people with tattoos. Like, I have tattoos, but when you approach people with tattoos, they're not saying, hey, come look at me and look at all this great art I have on my body, right? Sometimes they're just expressing themselves in the artwork because it's part of their story and their memories. And all. I have tons of tattoos. That's why I'm saying that. But I only have two that are visible now. I was always invisible to certain parts of my life. And now the more I'm opening up, the more I'm becoming visible, the more I'm being vulnerable, and just being honest with who I am now. So yeah, that's one thing I could tell you. Like, the pink hair does not mean extroverted. And I know it's silly and simple, but it's one of the key things that I've often thought about. Like, I, believe it or not, forget sometimes I have pink hair. I forget, like, this is my normal. So what is weird to you is my normal, right?
I forget that my entire back is in color, and then people stare at me and I think they look at my butt and I'm like, don't look at my butt, but they look at my back because there is so much. You spend so much time on the beach, right? But I do forget that it's just a part of me that belongs.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Jen, for being vulnerable here. I think this conversation will find so many, and I hope it just encourages everybody just take this little tiny step.
Just a tiny step. Yes.
Just go. Go.
Tiny breath. If you're a diver, just take a tiny breath.
Thank you.